Is your job affecting your health? I'm Okila Smith. In this segment of The Working Life, we're going to talk to Mary Abajay, an organizational development consultant and Washington area business leader, about the correlation between one's health and the workplace. Welcome, Mary.
Good morning, Okila. It's so nice to see you today.
You too. Many times we don't associate some of our physical pains with being job-related, but in some cases, your ailments could be a direct result of your job. What are some health-related issues that can be caused by your workplace?
Okay, well, there's really the big four that I'm going to go over here with you. One is your back, neck, and shoulder strain and the achiness of that. Eye strain is the second one that's big and causes a lot of problems for individuals. Stress or tension headaches is another one that can be a physical sort of ailment in the workplace. And then, of course, you have your whole category of repetitive stress injuries. These are things, of course, like carpal tunnel syndrome, tendonitis, bursitis, or small stress fractures that can be a result of repetitive activities.
What are some ways that you can get the back aches, the neck pains, the shoulder pains? Is it a direct result of sitting in a chair all day, or could it be that maybe you work on a construction site and you're lifting things?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing the damage you can do to your body by doing nothing. I mean, it's truly amazing. For example, I always have a sore lower back, and if you see the way I sit at my desk, it's no wonder. So I can go through these each and tell you like some things you can do and things they show up if you want me to.
I would love that.
Okay, great. So with your back, neck, and shoulder, you know, strain, this can come again from either doing too much or doing too little. So what you can do to help alleviate back and neck and shoulder is really want to practice. Well, if you're doing activities, you have to make sure you're lifting carefully, and you want to talk to experts about how to do that. I'm not expert in lifting anything except my wallet. But when you're sitting, for example, for those of you who are sitting, to alleviate and reduce stress and tension in your back and your neck, you want to practice what's called dynamic sitting. I'm going to do it so Akila can see me. So what that is that sitting so that your hips and your knees are level, first of all, and your feet are flat on the ground. I know this sounds very exciting. And that your shoulders are back and you're actually leaning back into your chair. You are forming a perfect L with your body. And everything should be stacked up on top of each other. Yeah, I know. Pretty uncomfortable at first, huh? So that means no slouching, no straining, no like crossing your legs, no half twisting your seat. And you want to get up every few minutes. I shouldn't say every few minutes. You want to get up for a few minutes every hour. Don't sit there all day. Okay, so that's for your back. Okay.
That sounds a little difficult.
It is. But, you know, once you practice it, or what I did is I bought these really cool roller things for my feet that massage my feet, which forces me to sit up straight and put my feet on them, and I get a foot massage while I'm working.
Maybe we should put that on the company tab.
Put it on the company tab. Okay, so let's talk about eye strain, because that's another really big one. This, again, is about adjusting things to the right height. So the first thing you want to do is make sure that your screen is at the proper height to your eyes so you're not looking up or looking down. You also want to make sure it's close enough without being too close, okay? Because you don't want to be squinting or leaning in. And for eye strain, another important thing is the brightness of your screen. You know, some people use those like screens.
Right.
And try actually looking away from the computer now and then, you know, for a couple minutes every hour, closing your eyes, let them rest a little bit and doing things like that. Now, for stress and tension headaches, again, a lot of these are caused by poor posture, clenching of the jaws, you know, clenching up of anything. So try fixing your posture first for stress or tension headaches. Then you can always try cool compresses, warm compresses, et cetera, et cetera. Now, for your repetitive stress injuries, you really do need to see specialists around this. You want to make sure, again, you're sitting properly, but you want to make sure you're using the right tools and everything's ergonomic. And there are lots of websites that can help you understand depending on what your repetitive stress is.
Okay. In this country, many times we feel like it's a hassle to even take a half a day off for regular checkups or to visit our doctor. How important is it to allow yourself that kind of time? Could many of these health issues be corrected or even avoided by regular doctor's visits?
Absolutely. If you're experiencing any sort of persistent medical or physical pain or ailment, you should absolutely see a qualified medical person, whether it's a chiropractor or a nutritionist or a doctor or somebody like that. See somebody. Take the steps that was outlined before to reduce your risk of injury or physical discomfort, but then definitely go see somebody and pay attention to your nutrition and your exercise.
And just thinking about it, many of these issues, such as eye strain, they don't really seem like a big deal. And I feel like if you tell your employer that, you know, you have eye strain from your computer, he might look at you like you're crazy. So are there any proper steps to take to ensure your employer understands your situation?
Yes, you know, and that's really true. I mean, employers, that's definitely like an eye-rolling thing, you know. Sure it is. So, yeah, so first of all, you really do have to take, you have to take your own responsibility for your own health. While your employer has responsibility for making your workplace safe, ultimately, it's your responsibility to make sure that you have good health. So, you know, research what your ailments are, take some precautions that you can take first, and if that's still not enough, then get suggestions. Find out suggestions or recommendations that you can take to your employer. Bosses love it when you bring them solutions as opposed to just problems. So do a lot of research. Take the responsibility. I know it sometimes doesn't seem fair, but take the onus and the responsibility to actually create solutions and make recommendations.
Okay. Sometimes when you were talking about clenching your jaws and maybe getting like tension headaches, and sometimes when it's too cold in the building, I clench my jaws and I feel like I'm getting like a tension headache.
See?
So how important is it to have the proper resources you need to be able to do your job comfortably, such as a chair or...
It's very important. Not only do you have to be able to be effective in your workplace, you need to be safe. And so for you, bring a sweater. And, you know, again, this is very similar to the earlier questions. Go to OSHA if you're not sure about the regulations, OSHA.gov, or just Google workplace safety health issues. You will get so many helpful websites and resources that you can go to research to find out really what are the requirements, what are the must-haves, the need-to-haves, or the nice-to-haves. And then you negotiate that with your employer.
Okay. Today on The Working Life, we're talking about the relationship between your health and your job with Mary Apogee. I've often heard that sometimes our desks can carry even more germs than our toilet seats, and many times we share our supplies and our phones with our coworkers. How important is it to make sure that you thoroughly wipe down your workplace at least once or twice a week, especially during cold and flu season?
Oh my gosh, I'm just laughing because I'm such a germaphobe. It is really important. I promise the listeners this. If you become an active sort of cleanser of your workspace, and that means taking the 409, the bleach water, well, I use bleach water myself, or any of those, you know, anti-disinfectant cleansers on your workplace surfaces, and you use the Purell, I promise you, you will see a marked reduction in your cold and flu season.
Okay. Are there any other precautions that we can take to decrease our chances of catching other office germs?
Yeah. Again, hands are the biggest things in the world. Germs are passed through people's hands, something like some absurd amount, like 95% or even 97%. Wash your hands regularly and often. I carry the Purell around and I carry some wipes. And you know, if I'm going to a networking event or I'm shaking a lot of hands, I duck into the bathroom as soon as possible and I cleanse my hands before I start doing food and drink or accidentally touching my face because it is where the bulk of the germs go. So watch your hands, people.
That's pretty serious. Let's talk about our mental health. Many of us never completely take advantage of all our vacation time allowed to us throughout the year. Is that kind of burnout in any way linked to maybe depression or some other health issues? Can it stem from being overworked?
Absolutely. Burnout is very much linked to depression. Burnout often starts out as stress and then goes into burnout. And burnout is really categorized by disengagement. It is physical and emotional exhaustion. So where stress is primarily a physical reaction, when you reach burnout, you are emotionally hurt. You're damaged in a way. I mean, I'm damaged irrecoverably, but it's an emotional field and it can be very, very serious.
And how important is it for us to take our vacation time throughout the year?
It's very important. Your emotional field, your mental energy, your mental health needs relaxation. I mean, it needs time to actually heal, rejuvenate, rest, you know, just reinvigorate itself.
So what should you do if you get to the point of burnout, or how can you avoid getting there?
Well, you need to take a break. And here's how you know you're in burnout. If you're feeling frustrated or powerless, when you're depressed, when you're drained of emotional energy, when you're detached, any of those really negative, not having, needing emotional feelings, that may be a sign of burnout. So you need to seek help. So that might be a mental health expert. It might be your church leader. It might be your employee assistance program. Seek help. It might just be your friend or a spouse. And then take a break and take some time to actually figure out what's going on with you and what you need. And also talk to your employer. Right. You know, there's nothing wrong with going to your boss and saying, listen, Akilah, I'm feeling really burned out and I need some help.
And they should be able to help you. Yeah. They should be able to accommodate what we need there. And lastly, I want to touch on our diets while at work. Many of us engage in eating the free, high-calorie snacks that seem to be always lying around the office. How harmful can the frequent indulgence in the morning donuts or the afternoon pizza be to our overall health?
Okay, besides the fact that it could lead to just, you know, being fat, it is. I mean, they have done a lot of studies around nutrition. I mean, we know that nutrition, what you put in your body affects how you are. So here's what you need to do. You need to be really, you have to pay attention to what you're eating at work. You have to go for a low fat, low sugar diet as much as possible. So bring healthy snacks, pack your lunch if possible, watch all those things like diet sodas, too many in a day, because that actually does, so you show, raises your imagined feelings of sugar level. So it kind of has the same effect, and the caffeine and the crashes. For those of you who bring work to lunch, try some frozen dinners and look for the healthy ones. You know, stay away from that microwave popcorn. Get some exercise at lunchtime. You know, walk around the office. Do things like that. It's very important.
Well, what can an employer do to ensure that their employees don't feel overwhelmed and unappreciated?
Right. That's a great question, because here's what employers need to do. Once they take care of the physical safety in organization and they make sure that they have everything people need physically to stay healthy, they do actually need to pay attention to the emotional health of their employees. And they can do this in a couple of ways. First of all, they need to pay attention to the workload and to the workplace morale. Actually, put your ear to the grindstone. Really pay attention. I want them to listen to employees. I want them to get in touch with the emotional climate of the workplace. Don't put their heads in the sand over this, because a negative emotional climate, chances are, only gets worse, and it's having poor effects on your staff. And then ensure that management and frontline supervisors are creating and doing what's needed to create this, a respectful and energized workplace that allows employees to contribute meaningfully. When people can contribute meaningfully and in a way that's comfortable-ish, then you're going to have a healthier mental space in the workplace.
And I think a lot of times what happens there, too, is the employers are so overwhelmed.
Yes.
And they have so much on their plate that they tend to dump it down to you. And then when you're the bottom person, it's like, who do I give it to?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know what? If you're an employer, you're a boss, I'm really sorry, but you can't dump down. You get paid more money, so you don't dump down.
Listen to that, bosses. That's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank Mary Abajay for joining us. If you want to learn more about this topic, please visit us at www.workingwisdom.blogspot.com. I'm Okila Smith, and thanks for listening.